You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Brian. It's still top-down weather.
It is. No convertibles this week.
You know, you want to get people to make appointments to bring in their cars to get their winter tires, but it's a tough sell right now.
Well, you know, it's going to be in the mid to high 20s for the next few days, and, you know, people are not thinking about weather.
No, not at all, and it's been great. In fact, it's forced me to go out and water my lawn a few times.
It's been so dry. But yeah, nobody's thinking about putting winter tires on.
No, not at all, and we got a contest coming up next month. And
yeah,
and of course, well, you will have a choice. You know,
yeah, it'll be your choice. Our friends at Triangle Tire are giving away a set of tires that fit your vehicle. So that'll be coming up next week or the week after. So
I wonder if the size is limited, because every time I'm looking at one of these new, you know, big electric cars coming out, they're 21s, 22s, 24s, 25s. I mean, like, they're stupid.
Oh, the BMW I'm driving this week, 22s.
And let me ask you, how many potholes have you ruined tires and wheels on?
You know what? Several.
Yeah, there you go.
Several. And unfortunately, that also involved a Ferrari,
ah.
A brand new Ferrari, and a brand new Aston Martin. And those potholes were not in Toronto. One was in LA and one was in New York City. But of course it was New York City.
Well, if you're going to go, you might as well go big time, right?
That's right. Yeah. So that was two per Ferrari and two per the Aston.
Wow. 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 That's crazy. As a matter of fact, I used to work for a guy years ago and he had a sign up that they also service Ferrari, but I never saw any Ferraris there. And he said, yeah, it got to be too expensive. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, I wanted to text ruin the wheel. You know, and I'm going back 40 years, and it was $2,000 for the wheel.
Sure.
And he told me the hoops he had to get through to go to the airport and find a plane that was coming from Italy and asking somebody if they take cash to go bring him a wheel from. It was just craziness.
That does not surprise me. I learned something else today. Yeah, there's a spare parts shortage and everything with, you know, a lot of parts and whatever. But I found out something today. How do you find spare parts for a Fiat?
You call a guy named Tony, I guess.
And no. you just follow one.
Oh, now I have a parts car.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, and you mentioned that last week because you were here in the that MX.
The Mazda MX-5 Miata.
And someone had called me because they were so excited because they got the Fiat version of.
Yes.
And I thought it was okay because it was actually the Mazda Miata underneath, and you said, well, not completely.
Not completely. Yeah, so it's a Fiat 124, Spider, mm-hmm. they call it. They've stopped making them. But it uses the current MX-5 body shell.
Yeah.
But it also uses the Fiat small four-cylinder turbo.
You know what? Yeah, we'll get into it later because, you know, you think, you know, you're buying a car and it's costing a whole lot of money and there's a whole lot of technology, and you'd hope it'd be reliable, but doesn't necessarily go that way.
No.
All right, speaking of buying cars, especially if it's a used one, you want to make sure you have some kind of warranty. Now, your original warranty is not going to be there because the car is old and gone, but there are aftermarket warranties out there. We've got Gurpreet Ben White afterwards from Gartree.ca. He's going to come on and tell us about the products that he has. We've got Maureen Harquell from Omvic.
Yes.
Tell us about how you should be careful when you're buying that used car.
Always.
And because you don't want to get into hot water. It's way easier to fix before than after. And we've got later on, speaking of fall time, we've got the fall RV show coming up next week. And we're going to have Natalie Conway on.
That's right. It's going to be a big show.
Got to rock and roll. We've got to run. You hear the music? Al, stop talking.
Yeah, please.
We'll be right back.
Wow. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in the studio with Alan Gelman, and it is a lovely Saturday. I'm taking a drive today in a fun car. So we're gonna
another convertible?
No convertibles this week, unfortunately, but we're going to the racetrack, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park.
And so it's not an electric car?
Definitely not an electric car.
Actually, have you had electric cars at the track at Motorsport? I know you had that Mach 1.
I've driven them to the track.
Mach-E, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've taken any EVs on racetracks, but there are plenty that are capable of going around on the racetrack. Not that it's terribly enjoyable, but yeah, it's possible.
Well, they go like stink, and they got a low center of gravity. Do they not corner well?
Well, that all depends, right? So it depends on how the car is configured and then how they sort up the suspension and tires. Tires are so important because the EVs weigh so much more than regular cars. They got to have the right tire, and you know you tend not to find these in the mid-range, like performance EVs. Mm-hmm. They're all expensive. They're all six-figure EVs that you can take on the track. Now there are some that are more modestly priced that are coming. Like Hyundai's got the Ioniq 5N coming, right, which looks really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And that's their you know, small EV that they've got, but it's all performance tuned, suspension, brakes, all kinds of stuff, and they've tested it on the racetrack. So unlike that famous EV brand, it'll do more than one lap around the racetrack.
Because it runs out of juice, is that what you're saying?
No, that famous EV brand's cars get too hot on the racetrack. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
One or two laps, the batteries overheat, and they say, no mas, we're out.
Oh, did it throw up a code or just breaks down?
No, it goes into a limp mode.
Ah.
Yeah, so all the traditional car makers, because, you know, they consider these things, they have mm-hmm. smart engineers. The ones that do build track purpose EVs have considered this, and they make sure that they've got additional cooling for the batteries and everything else. So,
also concerned, though, too. I mean, you see this thing about putting out fires.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if track personnel knows what to do in an electric car.
Well, this is the thing. There are plenty of racetracks that I do know of uh-huh. that do not permit EVs on them for that reason.
Because they're going to melt down and...
It'll take all day to put out the fire.
Besides the damage actually could do to the track.
Of course it'll. Yeah, yeah. It'll ruin the track surface or mm-hmm. whatever it's stuck against.
Right.
And then the entire day is ruined for, you know, dozens of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, normal driving, though, I mean, people don't have to be concerned too much, eh?
No, not at all. No, no. They're pretty safe. Yeah, it's. I think you tend to have these problems when you get involved in the collision.
Right. And, well, no, exactly, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And of course, there's so much control. The car will take care of you and knows it's talking to everybody around it. Well, not yet. When are they going to let that interconnectivity happen? Any idea?
The cars talking to one another.
Yeah.
There are several manufacturers that have the technology built into cars.
Oh, no. They have the technology.
Oh, it's already there.
Yes. Yes.
But I think it's a regulatory thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised in some countries that the cars are actually talking to each other in a basic way already. But right now, I think most Mercedes models mm-hmm. have that connectivity where they can talk to one another, but if maybe they don't, or officially they say they don't.
Right.
I'm not quite sure. You know, on the other hand, I was following a Tesla. It was clearly on their nonsensical full self-driving mode.
Was that going down the parkway today? Because there was a guy in a Tesla in the passing lane.
This is
obviously not paying attention.
Exactly. Yeah, no, yeah. This is Bayview Extension.
Okay.
And
close.
Was just, you know, arbitrarily braking when it was inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here.
Oh, you mean the
Tesla was just braking. And then, of course, I passed the Tesla mm-hmm. and the driver was not involved at all. So it was indeed on their full self-driving nonsense.
I wonder, I know from Waze that if you're going over the limit, the little speed thing flashes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But I wonder now on the electric car now, if it's that smart, will it restrict you to the speed limit?
That's a user-defined setting.
Oh, okay. So you still can. Yeah.
So you can still set the speed you want to go,
yeah.
Whether it's at or above the speed limit.
Well, was it Sean or was it one of our police officer friends said that they said, oh, Tesla owners are arbitrarily decide on what speed they want to drive?
Yes. Well, this is the thing. I mean, the car can't drive itself. It's a sophisticated cruise control system is what it is. And as a driver, your obligation is to stay in control of the vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it can't drive itself.
But But they think you can.
Yes, of course. Of course. And, you know, this is the thing. They call it a beta test, but I don't remember ever signing up for Tesla's beta test because I'm you know, Teslas are driving around me all the time, and I didn't agree to participate in their beta test.
But I'm really cranky because, I, you know, on Thursday nights, I come back from the Jam Club because, you know, I play music most Thursday nights and I have fun.
Yep.
And I'm coming along to 401 and westbound or eastbound, and there's so many people that are on their phones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
It
blows me away.
Yes.
Like, why are you doing 80 kilometers an hour, you know, in the center lane? And of course, as you pass, you look at, they're looking down at their crotch or somewhere else, right?
Okay. They're definitely not paying attention.
Yeah. There was a lady, actually, 2 weeks ago, it was raining dogs and cats. And, of course, she was going too slow, and I went, oh my God, this person's making a nail appointment. Okay, like.
She's checking her Facebook status.
Yeah. This is crazy. All right, after the break, we've got guardtree.ca. Want to find out more about it? Stick around. We're going to have Gurpreet Branwat, and he's going to tell you what product he has and how it could save you a whole lot of money. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman. And joining us on the line is Gurpreet Branwat from GuardTree. And GuardTree is a new company that offers very interesting warranty product. Gurpreet, how are you?
Hey, guys.
We're doing great. And we sort of dropped out there. Try it again.
I said, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good, doing good. I hope they have an extended warranty on that phone you're using.
Yeah, I know. No doubt, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people are struggling these days. You know, the price of new cars has just gone stupid. You know, the average new car now, I think, Brian, is about 60 grand or something.
It's well over 60 grand.
Yeah.
So people are hanging on to their cars.
Right. They're hanging on to their cars, or they're buying used cars so they can't afford the financing, you know, or the price of the car. But the problem is, of course, is when you buy a used car, good chance it's 5 years, could be 10 years old. You haven't got any warranty left, but you've got a product to help the guy out. What are we doing here?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we noticed is, as you guys mentioned, the cars, new cars aren't coming in. So we first had the problem with new vehicle shortages, so people couldn't trade in their vehicles.
Right.
And now we're in a situation where there's just interest rates have gone up. People are worried about their jobs, worried about their house. So what we did is we introduced a product a couple years back that allowed consumers who were purchasing vehicles privately or used vehicles through a dealership to actually purchase an extended. Where GuardTree is really different is that we want it to be completely unique to the Canadian marketplace. So we're the first company in Canada that offers an extended warranty on used vehicles on a subscription model basis. And that allows our subscribers and cancel any time. So we wanted to be extremely flexible with the types of terms we had in terms of the product. So we're at about $49.95 a month to start. And the goal was to try to get people signed up as quickly as possible, just like any other subscription service, streaming service that they signed up for online.
That sounds great, because I know, generally speaking, when somebody's getting sold an extended warranty product when they're buying a used car, it's actually about $4,900. So it's a huge difference, eh?
Yeah, so what we did is, again, there's lots of different warranties out there, and many of those are warranty products where you're purchasing upfront and you're paying for multiple years. And,
right.
And again, we wanted to turn the industry on its head a little bit here and try to create a unique product where consumers could essentially pay month to month and see if the warranty works for them. And what we did is we wanted to add enough value into the product itself by including comprehensive coverage. So we cover more than just powertrain. We cover many different components.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, we've included roadside assistance, car rental when the car is in the shop, trip interruption in case your car breaks down while you're on a trip anywhere in North America. So we wanted to add all these other components to our product and make it completely a unique experience for our subscribers.
Now, the $49.95 you're talking about per month, is it dependent on, of course, the type of vehicle as well?
So that's the other unique part of it. We don't depend on the vehicle type.
Uh-huh.
We depend on what deductible the customer wants to put, the subscriber wants to be,
right,
and how much of a limit of repair they want. So you can have deductibles up to $500 and limits of repairs up to $2,500. But we don't care what type of make, model, or year the vehicle is. Mm-hmm. All we care about is tell us your deductible that you want us to cover and the limit that you want per repair.
What about prior condition, for example? Does the people have to get their car inspected before you get the policy?
Yeah, so great question. And this is one of those other used car warranty things that people are always concerned about when they're looking to it. It's what's covered and will I need an inspection, or will there be a blackout period when you sign up? And
right,
what we've done is we've eliminated that as well completely. And we wanted to try something completely different, which was we wanted no inspection required. And what we do is we do have a eligibility requirement that says that, you know, anything that was pre-existing will not be covered, mm-hmm, and but no inspection required. And then we rely on our claims process to review any claims that come in to see if there's anything that existed prior to it.
Yeah, are there any limitations to the policy? Let's say you've purchased a used car, you subscribe to the warranty, and then 6-7 months later, you decide to buy a brand new car and you've got a warranty and you don't need this coverage anymore. Are there any limitations there?
So again, that's the whole beauty of a month-to-month subscription. After you purchase a new car or you trade in this vehicle and get a new used car for yourself, you can cancel this warranty that you have on the existing vehicle that you have and then just place it on a new vehicle. And again, it's all done online. So you basically remove the warranty that's on the existing vehicle and add the warranty for the new vehicle that you have.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for a lot of people, especially, you know, you let them sell you the big policy and then you go to make a claim and all of a sudden there's exceptions and reasons and you're kind of ticked. But if they weren't satisfied in your case, well, they say, well, that's it, I'm not going to pay anymore. But in the long run, you've already paid, so you're in for the long haul.
Yeah, so again, just like any other product or services, there are going to be cases where there's issues with longer-term warranties and short-term warranties. And what we try to do is we try to remove any speed bumps that people have on these types of products or any concerns they may have about these products.
All right, speaking of speed bumps, I gotta jump in here because we got to take a break. If people want to get in touch with GuardTree, how do they do that?
You can hit up our website, guardtree.ca, and you can sign up directly online. Yeah, it's super easy. It takes a couple of minutes to sign up. And if you have questions, you can ask through there as well. So again, guardtree.ca.
And no inspection required. All right, take care of yourself. Glad you could
have a great day, guys.
Thanks for having
me on. You too. All right, bye-bye. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back with Maureen after the break, right?
That's right.
There we go. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman here in the studio. And joining us on the phone is Maureen Harquail from OMVIC. And, you know, Maureen, there's always something to talk about when it comes to buying a new or used vehicle.
Absolutely. Great to be with you this morning. There's always lots to think about. It's, as you know, it's a lot of people's second biggest purchase. So lots of things to be worried about.
Well, like we were talking to our last guest, you know, because of the cost of new stuff now, a lot more people are looking used, and because they just don't have the money, eh?
Yeah, listen, and, you know, as I said, it is the second largest purchase for many people, and if you're going to go and buy a used motor vehicle, or in fact a new motor vehicle, but particularly on the used side, you really need to think about what it is that you're buying and to know that motor vehicle dealers and salespeople in Ontario have a legal requirement to disclose a number of different things to the buyer or to the potential buyer. So it's important, things like whether the vehicle was used as a taxi or a limousine, or whether the vehicle sustained any damage by fire. Even another one very topical these days is if a motor vehicle has been recovered after being reported stolen. These are all things that need to be disclosed in writing to the consumer.
How, just quickly though, I mean, if a car got stolen and recovered, in most cases, you know, it's a car that's only maybe 3 months old, and if they find it a couple days later and return it, why is that so critical?
Well, listen, we know that that the process of stealing a vehicle oftentimes results in damage to that vehicle.
Sometimes
you can see the damage. Sometimes you can't see the damage. And I think, obviously, if a vehicle ends up that it's stolen but recovered, there may be some things that were fixed. But, you know, there's still a potential there that there's something wrong with that vehicle.
Right. Now, when you say when you disclose this, it's not just a matter of he said, she said, right? Because they have to put it down on paper, correct?
100%. So let's say there's a motor vehicle that's being sold by a dealer and it has over $3,000 in accident damage, which, as we know these days, doesn't take long to get to a $3,000 damage.
No, that's only a bumper and a headlight.
100%.
No big deal.
So that kind of information has to be written into the sales contract, and it has to be there before the consumer signs the agreement. So very important that get done.
So that they're well aware of everything that's gone on there. Okay, I understand that.
I remember years ago, before these requirements were in place, I was in a crash, rode off a car, not my fault at all. And it didn't take long, maybe 3 or 4 months, before I saw the car on the road again and ran into the new owner, who told me that it was sold to him by a dealer who said the car was perfect and all original.
Yeah, interesting, because in fact there is a disclosure requirement, one of over 20 in the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act, that says that if a motor vehicle was declared by an insurer to be a total loss, regardless of whether the vehicle was classified as irreparable or as salvage, that still needs to be disclosed as well, in writing, of course.
The other thing we're seeing is a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that because dashboards are electronic now, they don't think that odometer tampering can be done. But in fact, it's easier, and we're seeing a proliferation of it, are we not?
Yeah, listen, we're seeing a lot of odometer rollbacks, and of course we're seeing it a lot with people who are what we call curbsiding, or they're illegal motor vehicle sellers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they will roll back these odometers, and then of course, you know, that really impacts the consumer, because they're buying something that is being fraudulently misrepresented. Again, the value of the vehicle will of course be severely impacted with an odometer rollback.
Yeah, Maureen, I have to say, it's so easy. I have seen ads on Instagram for tools that will clear, just do whatever you want with the odometer reading. It's incredible technology. You can order this stuff online these days.
100%. It's very common, and that's why, you know, it really is buyer beware when you're dealing with an illegal, unlicensed seller of motor vehicles. And that's why at Ombic, we tell people, if you're going to be buying a vehicle, you need to check that you're dealing with an Ombic registered dealer. So look for that blue and yellow decal. Come to our website and just enter the dealer's name or the salesperson name to make sure that they are licensed with Ombic. Because if you buy from an Ombic registered dealer, you will get certain protections, including access to our compensation fund if something goes wrong.
This is so important. Brian mentioned Instagram, and I'm an old guy, so I'm still on Facebook. But there's a couple groups that I see, and every time they're requesting, you know, they want to looking for a service or a product, it's always price. You know, it's always price, but it's short term thinking, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, listen, you're absolutely right. I don't know what else I can say. It is definitely short term thinking.
Right, and you end up buying a cheap car. Well, you wanted a cheap car. I sold you a cheap car.
That's what you get.
Yeah, and really, the I think the biggest risk is that if something really does go wrong, and you didn't buy from that Ombic dealer, we can't really help you. There's not a lot that we can do other than obviously trying to track down and prosecute that curbsider. But that's a difficult task.
Yeah, I know. Years ago, I knew someone that bought a car that was stolen. Didn't know, and it got towed away about 3 months later, and there was no recourse because it wasn't through a dealer, and she just lost $4,000 or $5,000. And the sad part was, you know, because sometimes the warning sign is that if you see something that looks too good to be true, well, no, but she kind of paid the retail price, so there was no indication that maybe there was something wrong here. Oh.
Yeah, you know, some of the other things we recommend, strongly recommend to consumers, is that they obtain a Carfax or a UVIP, a used vehicle information package, some sort of vehicle history report on the vehicle. Now, dealers don't have to provide a UVIP, but certainly, you know, a Carfax, all very helpful things to really give you a sense of the history of that vehicle. You also might be interesting. You might be interested to know whether the vehicle came from out of province. Mm-hmm. You know, did it sustain any damage because it was in some sort of flood? And of course, we know there's been flooding across this country. These are the kinds of things that dealers have to disclose, and they're very important.
Is there any more transparency now? I know, you know, the interprovincial movement of cars was always a big thing years ago because they couldn't get information. Are they not? I think the big one, Carfax, I think has information now from all provinces. Do they not?
It does, and that's why it's such an important tool mm-hmm. to help consumers get a sense of where did that vehicle come from. You know, was it in Halifax during the flooding? Or in British Columbia during the fires. There's lots of really good information in there, and I would strongly recommend that consumers think about getting a Carfax wherever they're buying.
I always like it when my friends call me in advance of purchasing a vehicle. I just saw a friend of mine on the weekend, and a few months ago he needed an SUV, and of course, he's not into cars, so, you know, I gave him all the best practices, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, the disclosures that dealers have to provide, and he bought from a top-line dealer, obviously OMVIC registered, and was very, very happy with his SUV, and I couldn't be happier for him. The other day, a friend of mine called, asked me about purchasing a vehicle, but what he was really doing was asking for validation because he'd already purchased the vehicle, and I couldn't help him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all about due diligence. And one of the big things, of course, is you get a lot of due diligence done if you deal with an OMVIC registered dealer. At least then there's some protections under our compensation fund. And we're also there to help consumers if they have questions or concerns, even before they walk into the dealership. Go to our website at omvic.on.ca or call us and ask any questions you may have. We want to make sure that consumers know their rights and are really empowered to walk in and make a smart decision when they buy a motor vehicle.
Right, and it's best that they know this before because, as you say, it's so hard to fix it after the fact, but so easy and preventable if you look at the information beforehand so you don't get yourself into a pickle. I don't know how many people think, you know, automatically there's a 30-day, but you know, money-back guarantee or you know, things like that, and I remember years ago, someone drove me crazy like that in my shop, and I said, "This isn't Eaton's, okay? I'm really sorry, but what you're asking me here is impossible for me to do, you know, and I'm not big enough." And I was straight up. So the professional people that are curbsiders, you know, they have so much more advantage. I mean, because don't forget, young people or anybody going to buy a car, if they never had before, you know, they are like sheep waiting for, you know,
the wolf.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I guess the one big thing for Ontario consumers to know is that there is no cooling off period when you purchase a motor vehicle in the province of Ontario. Once you sign on the dotted line, you have signed on that dotted line and you are buying or leasing that vehicle.
I guess just a question quickly. I mean, you know, you signed it, you've left the deposit. What if the dealer wasn't 100% or maybe it was beyond their control where, you know, they put in an order for a vehicle and it was supposed to be here in 3 months and 6 months later, there's no car. Is there any limitation that way?
Yeah, you know, that's certainly a challenging one because, of course, we know that a lot of dealerships are facing those kinds of challenges because of supply chain and delays from the manufacturer, et cetera. You know, listen, we encourage, you know, dealers to continue to communicate with their consumers, with their buyers, and let them know what's going on. And I think that's part of the process here. I think that's what people expect in this day and age.
Right. And again, you know, I was thinking about your disclosure business and the fact that all this has to be down on paper. I kept thinking to myself, no secrets. Remember that Carly Simon song?
That's before my time, Al.
Maureen may recall it. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
We'll stick around to Zoomer Radio, and I'm sure later on, maybe Robbie Lane will play it. all right, ladies, if you want more about Omvic, how do you get there? Omvic.ca?
Omvic.on.ca.
Maureen, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Always great to be with you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right, what are we doing after the break? We're going to be talking to...
Natalie Conway.
There's a big show coming up. It's the 13th.
In a couple of weeks, the fall RV show.
Excellent. So stick around. We'll find out more about it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman. Joining us on the line is Natalie Conway from the ORVDA. And there's something cool coming up, isn't there, Natalie?
There sure is. Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Good morning. So the show is coming up. The 13th is the first day?
It sure is. Yes, October 13th through to Sunday on the 15th.
Now, this is the Toronto Fall RV Show and Sale. How long has it been going on for?
Oh, the Toronto Fall RV Show and Sale has been operating for over 25 plus years. So we're really excited. Last year we returned with sort of a soft launch post-pandemic, and this year we've grown. So we're really excited to welcome back all of our exhibitors to this year's showcase.
Well, it's ironic that you had to do it that way. I mean, because you saw a big growth during COVID with people getting into RVing, correct?
Yeah, we definitely did. Manufacturers were unable to keep up with demand, and RVing certainly has become more popular than ever.
Now, question, I don't have $250K to buy a Class A home, okay?
Hey, Al, the ones we're looking at for the raising operations, we won't buy one, but to rent them.
Really looking for a true glamping experience. Yeah,
for racing, Natalie, it's kind of helpful, and you know, we have friends in the business who will rent a Prevo for several race weekends during the year, and these are incredible things. But they don't all have to be $1 million RVs, do they?
No, and I think that's, a common misconception. And at the event, there will truly be something for every family budget and lifestyle. You know, if you're looking for a teardrop trailer and just, something entry level, a variety of family models, again, something for every budget.
So in other words, you could get like just a pop-up trailer that maybe only costs
Absolutely.
A couple thousand dollars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is a great way to get started. But I've heard that it's pretty contagious. So my aunt and uncle are avid RVers, and every year they seem to be looking at upgrading.
Oh, it sounds like when you buy a boat, people get what they call a foot disease.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Next year, I need the one that has to be 10 foot bigger than the one I had. Okay, and then will there be any used vehicles there or opportunities or dealers there?
Yes, so the Toronto Fall RV Show and Sale is a great opportunity to come check out non-current inventory and, really gently previously loved vacation units for sure. And we will also be offering a sneak peek into what's coming to the 2024 camping season.
Well, I guess, too. I mean, when you say gently used, I mean, as long as they're stored properly, I don't think it's a big issue. I mean, if somebody bought one and they only used it three times during the summer, how much wear and tear could there possibly be on it, right?
Exactly. And RVing really gives you the opportunity to curate your own environment, so you can make it your own. We've got some great DIY sessions coming up. So if you're interested in potentially purchasing an older product, you can check out our session we have on renovation tips and tricks. So there's really a lot of flexibility when you're talking about an RV vacation versus a traditional vacation.
Yeah, I'm amazed at all the things that you can mess up. When we had our friends from Wayfair come on and talk about making sure the car is ready, making sure you put it away, make sure you've drained it and you put all the stuff away. I went, whoa, that's for a newbie. That'd be a lot to learn.
Yeah, sure. And, I think, too, the benefit of attending the show is that we do have technical sessions throughout the weekend, not just, your DIY sessions as well, but we do have industry experts that are presenting really important information on hitching and towing. Whether you're a beginner or you're a seasoned pro and looking to brush up on your skills, there's a great opportunity for you to come and learn more about your unit and talk to these experts about, how to improve your overall experience.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, if for example, it's going to be a towable model, you have to know if your car is going to be able to tow that kind of thing.
Yes, that's very true. That's a very, very, very essential thing to know.
And even if you've got one of these new trucks that has all the towing tech in it, it makes things a little bit easier. But towing is no joke, and you really have to understand a lot about the whole side, the whole aspect of towing in order to be safe. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you really do. And we do have a session that is entirely featured, that the focal point is hitching and towing. So I would encourage anybody that is considering attending the event to check out our schedule. It's on our website, rvshowsontario.ca, and that will give you a full list of sessions that are available throughout the weekend.
That's great. Now, it does run all weekend, so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
You got it.
Now, is it necessary for people to buy like a weekend pass, or basically you can do the show in one day?
You can do the show in one day, but you know what? I mean, if you're looking to come all weekend long, and then that's definitely, I mean, I think the weather is supposed to be great over the next couple of weeks too, but if there's something that you missed, for sure, you know, we would encourage people to come back again and meet with their dealer. Yeah.
All right. I have a question. I come to the show, I put a deal together. I like the trailer or motorhome, whatever I'm buying, but I'm not going to be using it until next spring. What happens?
So your dealer will typically work with you on storage opportunities. If you're purchasing at the event, delivery typically does not usually happen until the spring.
Okay.
But again, that's a conversation you definitely want to have with your dealer, about storage and about, you know, your delivery date. And I mean, it's pretty flexible.
So in other words, you know, you just drop a small deposit and he'll make sure that,
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
Because the storage obviously is important. I mean, when something comes new, it's already kind of in the storage position already, right?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
But if you're buying it used, you have really no idea what kind of condition it's in or
whether
it's ready.
Yeah, I think the benefit of attending an RV show of ORVDA is that you're working with ORVDA accredited members.
Right.
And you know, you can purchase with an unwavering amount of confidence, right? So knowing that you're buying from seasoned professionals who uphold the industry's most, you know, the highest level of standards. I mean, you know, I think that's what we want to emphasize as well when you're coming to this event, that you're working with an ORVDA dealer.
That sounds great. And you got leisure gear as well, it says.
We absolutely do. So we have a brand new parts and accessories store host this year. It's hosted by Thousand Islands RV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be showcasing everything from technical products to lifestyle gear to cozy, you know, outdoor wear. So whatever you're looking for, you will be able to find it at the show.
Sounds great. So the Toronto Convention Center, correct?
Nope, sorry. That's the Toronto Congress Center on Dixon Road by the airport.
You know, me bad. I underline it and everything. Okay.
Okay, it happened.
650 Dixon Road. There you go.
Free parking. Yeah, free parking too.
Yeah, free parking all weekend long. And
all
if
right.
you buy your tickets online, you'll be entered to win some great giveaways.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a great show.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, we got to take a break. And
it's a busy show.
It is.
Yes.
I'm confused. The highlighter didn't help.
It's, you know, I don't think of Mississauga too often, so I can appreciate being confused by a couple different places.
And if Steve's listening, that would be the highlight of his comments later on. How did you mess that up? I said, I don't know. I highlighted and everything.
All right.
Dave's Garage. We got to be right back.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, and it's been quite a show. It's just gone by just like that.
It's gone by really quick. What hasn't gone by quick is this automotive strike, auto workers striking. What's going to happen there, do you think?
I haven't been paying attention. I don't know.
What I thought was weird, too, is I would think that since it's one auto workers union, how come they have to deliberate with the individual companies?
The contracts are with the individual companies.
Okay.
And of course, you know, that'll have a small impact on what's happening at inventory levels shortly, because it's already slowing things down. And of course, there are plenty of factories that are shut down, not making vehicles right now.
Right. But there's so many different approaches there, because from certain perspectives, like you had said earlier, that there are certain kinds of vehicles that they have lots in stock, right? They're not selling.
Yes. Well, there are some brands and some types of vehicles that consumers aren't interested in. So,
so you don't need to pay people to make those cars when you got a lot of them.
Yeah, when they've got several dozen weeks of inventory around, you can find some of these vehicles, none of which I'd really recommend. But, you know, if you desperately need a new vehicle, they are out there. They just may not be the most desirable brand.
Speaking of desirable brands, there are brands that are less money and good, and they're imported. So to a certain degree, are not these guys shooting themselves in the foot?
Well, a little bit. But, you know, I think it's a little bit. This contract negotiation with those three automakers is more about the long term, especially mm-hmm. especially for GM and Ford, who have already made lots of investment in what they think is the right path, which is a lot of EVs.
You're giving me the wink, wink, nudge, nudge there. Like, you don't know necessarily if that was the way to go.
Well, we could belabor this all day long, but the reality is, despite all these government mandates or whatever they want to do with EVs, we don't have the electrical grid to support what they want to do. No improvements are happening right now.
Right.
And secondly, we don't have the rare earths on this planet to build all the batteries they need to meet the demand of their mandated EV production. So you will eventually deal with this. It'll be a few years. And what's going to happen is these EV mandates are going to start rolling back.
You know, I was almost convinced that we all had to go that route, you know, because it's all you saw was advertising and talking about it. But for example, a lot of the Japanese car companies didn't jump on the bandwagon and still do not have, you know, a whole lot of battery cars.
That's true. You'd think Toyota, the largest car company on the planet, mm-hmm. would be very EV forward. And that, yes, they've made lots of announcements. I've driven their first EV, and it was okay.
Right.
But I think they're treading very carefully into this space, because I think Toyota is also very smart as a company, and they know what's coming. And the EV mandates that have been announced, whether that's here in North America or in Europe, are just not going to be achievable. It simply won't be achievable.
Yeah, I'm still a hybrid kind of guy.
Hybrid? Hybrids make a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
They make a lot of sense.
You know, the ones that I've seen, I don't know, have you had any experience with the Kia or Hyundais?
Yeah.
Their hybrids, they've been okay?
Yeah, whether it's what comes to mind is the Hyundai Tucson hybrid. I've driven the regular hybrid and the plug-in hybrid, and they're both wonderful vehicles. They cost a little bit more than the gasoline version, but if you get the plug-in hybrid, you can drive maybe 50 kilometers a day on a charge, and you don't need a special charger at home. You just plug it into the wall.
Yeah, you know, I know my daughter's got an electric car, and she I saw this beast of thing on the wall, and she said, and you see, they could have put it over here, but okay. And the plug's on the wrong side, which I thought was kind of weird.
Oh, isn't that funny?
I think I have to tell her, make sure she doesn't drive over to cable, eh?
That's probably a good idea. You don't want to rip the charger out of the wall.
No, I wonder how many times that happened, eh?
I haven't heard stories, but I'm sure it's happening
years
all over
ago,
the place.
Years ago, I worked at a gas station. One of my first jobs was pumping gas, and lady drove away with the nozzle still in the car. Went, oh my God.
Oh boy, that's not good.
All right. We want to thank our guests, of course, for coming in today. We've got Maureen Harquail from Ombic. And, of course, the whole deal there is to do your diligence before, find out the information you need to before, because it's a lot better to get the answers to your questions than trying to fight with somebody after the fact.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah. And, you know, if you're, just like my friends, call me before you decide to buy a car. I'll help you. Promise.
Right. Exactly. I'm amazed, you know, but I don't know what ticks me off worse is the people that do that or the people that call you for advice and then just don't take it.
Oh, there's that. But I mean, you know,
like, why did you even call me?
Yeah. The ones who say they're calling for advice, but are really looking for validation, though, I can spot those friends a mile away these days.
Well, what's the whole point of them doing that? They've already bought it.
Well, you know, they're not the car expert. They want to get the validation from the car expert in their friends group. So here I am. And anyway, that was an interesting story. We're not going to name names on the show, but you know who you are.
No, exactly. And I'm thinking, hang on, you've known me forever. You know what my area of expertise and what I've been doing my whole life is.
Yes. Okay? And you might, you know, just like you, Al, you might want to call me before you decide to buy a car.
So make sure it's a registered dealer. And yes. Look for that license. You want to make sure, because afterwards, it's too hard to fix. Speaking of fixing, if you buy a used car, Gartree has some great products. Check them out. And the nice thing is you don't have to buy the $4,000 package. You can pay per month.
Yeah, it's very interesting extended warranty product that Gartree has. Gartree.ca, I think, is their website. And, it starts at $50 a month.
It sounds good. I hope my wife actually calls to cancel our first 3 months. You know, we're getting on that TV streaming thing.
Oh, yes.
I guess, but I think that's the deal there is people just forget, eh?
That's a whole business. There's streaming services. Also got to thank Natalie Conway from the ORVDA and the for calling in about the upcoming fall RV show in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. I mean, people, as a matter of fact, we were watching a show yesterday, and all of a sudden this person was showing their tour bus. And,
oh yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah, and yeah. Is Prevo or Provo the Prevo. Number one?
Yeah, Prevo is one of them. Yeah, yeah. And they're seven figures easily.
Yeah. But a great way to go.
It's a great way to stay when you're somewhere not in the city, can't stay at a nice hotel, stay in a nice $1 million RV.
But do they usually include the driver for that kind of fee?
They do.
Oh, perfect.
Well, no, I mean you have got to pay the driver, but it is definitely a lifestyle, just like RVing.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. And we had a great day today. You got to drive safe. Thank Ashley for driving the bus. She's the one behind the wheel here, keeping us on the road.
Yeah, she's doing a great job.
Exactly. So have yourself a great week, and we'll see you down the road. This is Al and Brian on Dave's Corner Garage. Bye-bye for now.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.